Blog Talk Radio. on my way, acknowledge you. If you said no, then I won't move. Quick to listen, I cannot speak, 'cause now your spirit speaks to me. A peace of mind. Many roads right there before me, looks enticing, but I know that's
Big Mike, they ready. D.W. Dalton say everybody's ready. Let's get it going.
All right. Well, good evening, everyone, and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com.
Sound check.
I'm your host. This evening, Brother Mike. And tonight we have Apostle Emmett Overton. He's going to be bringing a powerful teaching on Who Told You That Lie. We would like to thank our sponsors for tonight's teaching, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend A.T. Lillick, Reverend C.T. Walton, Reverend Skinner, and Reverend D.W. Bumpton. All right. Now, before we get started with the teaching tonight, we're going to go ahead and allow Brother John. He's got to give a couple of shout-outs to some fellow pastors out there who are listening. And then after that, the next voice that you will hear will be that of Apostle Emmett Overton.
Good evening, everyone. Again, it's good to share the word with you again tonight. And I'm just looking forward to this teaching about Who Told You That Lie. That sounds very interesting. Right now, I'm going to give a shout out to a couple of fellow servants of the Most High God, and that is Brother Wilmore, Brother Walker, Brother Lilton. I think he went to Morehouse. I'm not sure. In Montgomery, Brother Montgomery, Morehouse, and Brother Wiggins, Atlanta. Atlanta. I can't remember exactly. But anyway,
Clark, Brother Atlanta Bibbins. University.
Yeah, Wiggins, Clark, Atlanta University. And Brother Bibbins. I missed that one, Brother Overton.
But
Bethune-Cookman. Okay. Bethune-Cookman. God bless you. And I know you're going to enjoy the session. Now, even this topic kind of catch me like, who told you that lie? Wow. That's going to be very interesting. God bless you. And God bless those whose names I didn't call. Amen and amen and amen.
Brother Mike, can you go into YouTube? We need to get into YouTube, Brother Mike. We're going to have all participating tonight. We want everybody except Brother Michael Smith to participate. He can't. He's running the board. He can't participate and hit the board, and you know, he can't do that. So Michael is going to run the board, and Big Mike is going to be running the board in YouTube. He's the assistant pastor. I know y'all want to talk to me, but you got to go to him in the YouTube. If you want to call me, I'm here. Eric, call 444-619-522. Who told you that lie? But before we get into that, there are some questions. Got questions again. We back at that, and Happy New Year. And we will respond to your questions at OvertonNavy1@gmail.com. This has come from Sister Connie Fraggins from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Apostle Overton. You can call me Brother Emmett. I'm saying that to everybody. If you call here, just say Brother Emmett. You know, I don't like the titles. You know, that's a cost comes with that. And see, a lot of apostles have been lied to. A lot of y'all have been lied to. You even been lied to about Jesus. Who told you that lie? You got a president on TV not lying. He's starting to lie right now. And if we have been flooded with lies, the spirit of lying is prevalent in these last days. But let me answer your question, ma'am. Who are the 144,000? The book of Revelation has always presented to interpret with challenges. The book is steeped in vivid imagery of symbolism, which have interpreted differences depending on their perspectives of the book as a whole. There are four main interpreters' approach to the book of Revelation. One, persists, which sees all most of the events Revelation have already occurred by the end of the first century. Historic, which sees Revelation as a survey of church history from apostolic time to present. Idealist, which sees Revelation as a deception of the struggle between good and evil. First fruits, which sees Revelation as a prophecy of events to come. Of the fourth, the only first fruit approach interprets Revelation the same grammatic historical methods as the rest of Scripture. It is also better if Revelation own claim to prophecy, which is in Revelation 1:3, Revelation 22:7, Revelation 22:10, 22:18, and 22:19. So the answer to the question, who are the 144,000, will depend on which interpretive approach you take on the book of Revelation. With the exception of the fruitless approach, all other approaches interpret the 144,000 symbolically as representative of the church, and the number 144,000 being symbolically of the totally complete number of the church. Yet, when taken in full value, then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, from all the tribes of Israel. Revelation 7:4, nothing in this passage leads to interpreting the 144,000 as anything but literally numbers of Jews. 12,000 taken from Israel, tribe of the son of Israel. The New Testament offers no clear-cut replacing Israel with the church. These Jews are sealed, which means they have the special protection of God from all the divine judgments and from the Antichrist to perform their mission during the tribulation. See Revelation 6:17, in which people will wonder who can stand from the wrath to come. The tribulation period is a future seven-year period of time in which God will enhance divine judgment against those who reject him and his will and complete his plan of salvation for the nation of Israel. Israel. Salvation is for the Jew first, and then the Gentile. All of this is according to God's revelation to the prophet Daniel. In Daniel 9:24, in Daniel 9:27, the 144,000 Jews are short of the first fruits. In Revelation 14:4, of a redeemed Israel, which has been previously prophesied. In Zechariah 12:10 and Romans 11:25-27. And the mission seems to be energized to post-rapture world and proclaim the gospel during the tribulation period. As a result of their ministry, millions of great multitude will not, and no one could count for every nation, tribe, people, or language. Revelation 7:9 will come to faith in Christ. Much of the confusion regarding the 144,000 is a result of the false doctrine of the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses claim that the 144,000 is a limit to the number of people who were reigns with Christ in heaven and spend eternity with God. The 144,000 have what the Jehovah's Witnesses call the heavenly hope. Those who are not among the 144,000 will enjoy what they call the earthly hope, a paradise on earth ruled by Christ and the 144,000. Clearly, we can see that the Jehovah's Witness teachings sets up the society in the spirit of error, while the ruling class of the earth rot with that doctrine. I hope that helped you. Pastor John Durden, you'd like to have any commentary toward that? He's a revelation man. Put Durden on there.
Amen. Man, I was getting kind of high there, because that's what I've been teaching all these years, 144,000. Are you Jews? They're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that there's only going to be 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses that are going to live with Jesus in heaven, and the rest of Jehovah's Witnesses going to be living on earth. That is really cool. That's what I've been teaching. You got 12,000 from all 12 tribes, which make 144,000. And then you said there was the tribulation period, and then you said that's the 7-year period. You have the tribulation, 3.5, and then you have the great tribulation, which is the latter 3.5 years. God bless you, my brother. Keep on going. They're Jews. I'm listening.
Amen. All right. We got another one for you after this one, Pastor Durden. We'll have you to come in for your comments. Pastor Durden is a master in the book of Revelation, and we're going to one day open up the opportunity for him to teach the whole thing. Amen. All right. From Mark Whitman from Sarasota, Florida. What is the end time timelines? I hope I was able to help this out on you. One, the rapture of the church, Christ come in a cloud to snatch away all those who trust in him in 1 Corinthians 15:52. At this same time, the dead in Christ will be resurrected and taken to heaven. To form our perspective today, that is the next event in the ecological timeline. The rapture of the immutable of no biblical prophecy need to fulfill before the rapture happens. Number two, the rise of the Antichrist. After the church is taken out of the way in 2 Thessalonians 2:7 and 2:8, a satanically empowered man will gain worldwide control with promise of peace, Revelation 13:1, Daniel 9:27. He will be admired by other men and called the false prophet, who's head up a religious system that requires worship to the Antichrist, Revelation 19:20. Number three, the tribulation. A period of 7 years in which God's judgment is poured out on sinful humanity, Revelations 6:16. The Antichrist's rise to power is associated with this period. During the tribulation on earth, the church will be in heaven. It is through that at the time the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb will occur in heaven, according to 2 Corinthians 5:10. And Revelation 19:6-7. Number four, the battle of Gog and Magog. In the first part of the tribulation, a great army from the north, an alliance with several other countries from the Middle East and Africa, attacks Israel, and is defeated by God's supernatural intervention in Ezekiel 38:39. Some commentators place this battle just before the start of the tribulation. Number five, the abomination of desolations. At the midway point of the 7-year tribulation, the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel and shows his true colors. The Jews are scattered, and many of them turn to the Lord, realizing that Jesus is their Savior. A great persecution breaks out against all those who believe in Christ. Daniel 12:11, Mark 13:14, Revelations 12:17. Number six, the Battle of Armageddon. At the end of the tribulation, Jesus returned with the armies of heaven in Mark 14:62. He saves Jerusalem from the annihilation and defeats the armies of the nations fighting under the banner of the Antichrist. Revelations 19:11-21. The Antichrist and the false prophets are captured and thrown alive into the lake of fire. Revelations 19:20. Number seven, you ask the question, what is the end time timeline? The judgment of the nations. Number seven, Christ will judge the saviors of the tribulation, separating the righteous from the wicked as sheep and goats, Matthew 25:31-46. It is through that, at the time of the Old Testament, saints will be raised from the dead. The righteous will enter into the millennium kingdom, and the wicked will be cast into hell. Number 8, the binding of Satan. Satan will be bound in hell in the bottomless pit for the next 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 21-3. Number 9, the millennial kingdom. Jesus himself will rule the world, and Jerusalem will be the capital. This will be a 1,000-year period of peace and prosperity on earth, according to Revelation chapter 20. Isaiah 60:62, memorial sacrifice will be offered to a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, according to Ezekiel 40-48. Number 10, the last battle. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be released from his prison for a short time. He will deceive the nations once again, and there will be a rebellion against the Lord that will be quickly defeated, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through 10. Satan will be cast into the lake of fire and never to reappear. Number 11, the great white throne judgment. All those in hell will be brought forth, and all the wicked from all eras of history, including probably Donald Trump, will be resurrected to stand before God in a final judgment, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 11. The verdicts are read, and all of sinful humanity is cast into the lake of fire. Number 12, the new creation. God completely remakes the heaven and the earth. It is this time that God wipes away all tears, and there will be no more pain, death, or sorrow. The new Jerusalem descends from heaven, and the children of God will enjoy eternity with him, according to Revelation 21-22. All right. Captain John Durden, what you got?
Hey, I mean, you go like a machine gun. Boy, okay. With respect to, you talk about the last days of history. And you said that you're going to have the rapture. And that's when believers must be prepared to wait constantly for his imminent event. Christ will come unexpectedly, since the time cannot be calculated. And Christ will come to catch up believers living on the earth at that time. Then chapter, you said number 3, you have the tribulation. That's the faithful of Christ's churches will be kept from this time of trial. When that, in other words, they will be, they will begin, they will have to, they won't be going to all that punishment and everything else. And then it talks about what's going to be going on during the tribulation period. The Antichrist, the man will appear, and will be, and then you have the last was, false prophets will perform great signs and wonders. And you get to, after you leave the tribulation period, you come to the great tribulation period. That lasts for 3.5 years. And you will have demonic activity will increase greatly. Sorcery and witchcraft will increase greatly. God will extend his wrath on the ungodly. And after the great tribulation, then you have the Antichrist will come on his appearance. Steps for number 5, rulers during the tribulation, controls the entire world. And then you talk about describing the beast. And then you got the Antichrist. And then you got step 6, you say, Christ's glory is appearing from heaven to judge and to wage war. Christ will return with believers and his angels. Christ will gather the tribulation saints. Unbelievers will be unprepared for the event. Christ will separate people on earth. The nation will be engaged and raised at this time. Then you come with the millennium period, and where you say tribulation saints will rise from the dead, the church, and all moral tribulation saints will reign with Christ. Number 9, you say Satan will be bound in let's see. And then you say, the final judgment, final battle of Gog and Magog, all the wicked will be raised from the dead to face judgment. Then you have the great white throne judgment. You said, number 9, the new heavens and the new earth, God will destroy the present earth. No, that's 12. And then God will create a new heavens and new earth. God will wipe away all the effects of sin. New earth will begin. And then you said, in 12 will be the new creation, where God will create a new heaven, a new earth, and God will wipe away all the effects of sin, and new earth will become the headquarters of God.
All That's right. it, brother. We got another one from Clarissa Dawkins. She's emailed from Seattle, Washington. Pastor Overton. No, I got to teach it, Brother John, before you comment.
I know.
Oh, okay. Have any aspect of end times prophecy been fulfilled? Ma'am, I'll give you what the Lord gave me. Now, all of this the Lord gave me. Pastor Durden Noah, I'm into the word. I'm deeply into the book of, I'm a demonologist. But when the Holy Spirit reveals it to me, this is why people need the Holy Ghost. Because, see, the devil can lie to you without the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to answer this as best as I can according to what the Lord gave me. And your question was, have any aspect of end times prophecy been fulfilled? Brother Michael, are you into the chat room, YouTube?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Do we have any guests in there?
No, sir. Nobody's chatting.
Okay. Are there people in there?
It shows one person is watching right now.
Okay. All right. Revelation 4:1 introduces a section of Scripture that details things which must be hereafter. What follows are prophecies of the end times. We have not yet reached the tribulation, the revelation of the Antichrist, and other end times events. What we do see is a trend of the coming of Christ. Jesus says that in the last days will be pierced by several things. One, many false prophets will come to deceive many. We would hear of wars and rumors of wars. And there would be an increase in famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places, places that really don't normally be. And that's happening today. All these are the beginnings of sorrow based on Matthew 24:5-8. Today's news is full of false religion, warfare, and natural disasters. We know that the events of the tribulation period will include all that Jesus predicted in Revelation 6:1-8. Current events seem to be a built-up for greater trouble ahead. Paul warns that the last days will bring a mark of increase in false teaching. In latter times, some will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons, 1 Timothy 4:1. The last days are described as perilous times because of the increasingly evil character of man and because of people who actually oppose the truth, 2 Timothy 3:1-9, and you can see also 2 Thessalonians 2:3. The list of things people will be in the last days are lovers of themselves. We got that today. Lovers of money. Oh, whoa. The whole church running after the prosperity message with that. They all caught up in that mess. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. We got that today. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiveness, slanderous, self-controlled, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, harsh, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power, 2 Timothy 3:1-2. Seems to fit our modern society, doesn't it? Can there be any doubt that the prophecies concerning apostasies are being fulfilled? Our 21st century world has embraced moralism and evil, a tendon of society, even in the church. For example, many denominations are having hard times defining marriage as being between one man and one woman, and that's sad. Many religious leaders today are openly supporting homosexuality. The Bible has become subordinate to the modern church's quest for a more appealing truth. These are indeed frivolous times spiritually. The foundation of the European Union and the fact that we have a unified Germany is very interesting in the light of biblical prophecy. The 10 toes of Daniel 2:42 and the 10 horns and the beast of Daniel 7:20 and Revelation 13:1 are reference to this evil empire, which will hold power before Christ's return. Although the precious political structure has yet to be formed, the pieces can be seen as falling into place. In 1948, Israel recognized as a sovereign state, and this too as recodifications of scriptures of the coming prophecy of our Lord and Savior. God promised Abraham that his posterity will have Canaanites as an everlasting possession in Genesis 17:8, and Ezekiel prophesied a physical and spiritual reconstruction of Israel in Ezekiel 37. Having Israel as a nation of his own land is important in the last end day time prophecy because Israel's prominence of this eschatology in Daniel 10:17. Where there is no biblical proof that the things mentioned above are prophecy fulfilled, We can see how many of these events are similar to what the Bible describes. And in such cases, we are able to be watching prophecy being fulfilled because Yeshua told us that the day of the Lord and his return is on his and will come like a thief in the night, 2 Peter 3:10. Expect and unannounced, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, that you may be able to stand for the Son of God. Luke 21:36. Pastor John Durden, comment.
Yes, sir. I think with the question about what are some of the things going to happen prior to the rapture, kind of things like that. In my study, I found several things. It says, believers today must be aware that
one minute,
the church
John,
is dead.
We got 1 minute because Reverend Dalton says, I got one more question to ask, and the church is getting ready for the seminar.
Okay. I'll just say three things. One, you already mentioned there will be an increase of false prophets and religious compromise within the church. There will be increase of crime and disregard for God's law. You have increase of wars, famines, and earthquakes. And you could also have decrease in love and family affection, more severe persecution of God people. Those who stand firm will be saved, and God will be preached to the whole world. And the Spirit will be poured out on God's people. The Spirit will be poured out on God's people with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's it, buddy.
All right. Amen. Okay, one more. Who is the Antichrist? Mrs. Miller Milton. And she called from St. Louis, Missouri. What is the Antichrist? Brother Emmett, thank you for saying, you know, I really appreciate when you, I don't, the apostle thing, I don't get, attacks come with that. You know, just, I'm just a brother in the Lord. Even though I have an apostolic apostles anointing, I don't get caught up in pride. You have to stay humble because I can't, God don't work with people with pride. All right, so ma'am, let me answer this question for you. We're going to do this every Tuesday. If you got questions, email us for Got Questions on Tuesdays, okay? All right, 1 John 2:18 speaks of the Antichrist. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is know how that the last hour, that the specific term Antichrist is used 7 times in Scripture, twice here in 1 John 2:18, and also 1 John 2:22, also in 1 John 4:3, and twice in 2 John 7. So, what is the Antichrist that the Apostle John refers to? The meaning of the term Antichrist is simply against Christ. As the Apostle John recorded in the 1 and 2 John, an Antichrist denies the Father and the Son in 1 John 2:22. It does not acknowledge Jesus, according to 1 John 4:3, and denies that Jesus come in the flesh, according to 2 John 1:7. There have been many antichrists, as 1 John 2:18 states, but there is also coming the Antichrist. Most Bible prophecies and eschatology experts believe that the Antichrist will be the ultimate embodiment of what it means to be against Christ in the end times and last hours. A man will arise to oppose Yeshua and his followers more than anyone else in history. Likely claiming to be the true Messiah, the Antichrist will seek world domination and will attempt to destroy all followers of Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel. Other biblical references to the Antichrist, including the opposing boastful king of Daniel 7 to oppose the Jews and try to change the set of times and the laws, verse 25 of Daniel 7:25. The leader who established a 7-year covenant with Israel and then break it in Daniel 9. The king who sets up an abomination and desolation, Mark 13:14. Cliff notes of Daniel 9:27, Derek Prince. The man of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 12. The rider on a white horse representing his claim to be a man of peace in Revelation 6, 2. The first beast, the one from the sea, in Revelation 13, the beast received power from the dragon, Satan, and speak proud words and blasphemies in verse 5, and wages warfare against the saints in verse 7. Thankfully, the Antichrist beast among with his false prophets will be thrown into the lake of fire, where they will be spent in all eternity and in torment, according to Revelations 19:20 and Revelations 20, verse 10. What is the Antichrist? In summary, the Antichrist is the end-time false Messiah who seeks, is likely, will not be achieved, will have world domination so that he can destroy Israel and the followers of Jesus. But we all know that that's not going to happen. All right, let's now get into the sermon. Who told you that lie? We have been lied to in America. Now, a lot of people are not going to like what I'm going to say, but I really have to obey the Lord. Truth is important. Now, I'm coming out the King Bible, and a lot of people don't like this subject. A lot of people tell me, well, you know, why are you saying this? See, the devil lies to people, but the Bible don't. And the Bible is very accurate. It is very, very accurate. When God tells Noah how to build the ark, the cubits and the diameter of the ark is perfectly designed. If you look into the Bible, the Lord gives you the inch, how much meter it is, shades of wood, the type of wood to use, specific things. And the devil don't want us knowing the truth. See, we've been lied to about this Jesus. And a lot of black people don't really. I talk to a lot of Muslims, and they tell me the reason why I don't come to Jesus is because I don't want to serve no white Jesus. I said, brother, Jesus is not white. And I was able to talk, and I sat there 3 hours, and it was the Holy Spirit allowed me to lead a Muslim to the Lord Jesus. And that moved upon me to teach this. I'm not here to make any of you like me on this radio station. Let me say that right now. I'm not here for any of you to like me, because if you like me, I'm gonna be in trouble with the Lord. That's when I know that I'm out of the will of God. So I'm going to say some things that a lot of white people in America don't want to hear. I talked to a white brother in the Lord Shannon Davis introduced me to him. He said, why are you going to teach that tonight? He said, there's a thing that Jesus is white. I said, Jesus is not white. No, he's not. Now, the Bible says his color is like that of brass. That's a comparison. That's in Revelation 2:18. Now, why would the Lord put it in red writing? Now, this is Jesus putting that in red writing. You see, we have been lied to. Now, I'm going to let the King James Version talk to you tonight. I'm not going to say nothing. So when you come here calling me for threatening me and calling me a racist, you call the King James a racist, because I'm coming right out this Bible. If he's a racist, then I'm one. And I doubt that he was a racist. He tried to interpret the Bible so that you can understand English. Now, Revelation chapter 2:18 tells me, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Wrong one. 2:18. Thank you, Lord. And unto the angels of the church. Now, this is red writing. So for you Christians who don't want to hear this, tell Jesus this. You go tell and pray to your Savior, since you call on, I don't know which, now there are two Jesus. There's another Jesus, and that's what I'm going to try to expose tonight. This other Jesus is this other Jesus that's white. The Bible don't say that he's white. I wouldn't care what color he is, but I have to defend the Bible. It's not me trying to prove something to you. I'm defending the Word of God and Jesus' words. Now, these are Jesus' words. So don't come to me with no bullshit talking about I'm a racist, because I'm not. Okay, don't come to me with none of that mess, because a lot of you are ignorant. And you don't want to know the truth. Now, if you don't want to know the truth, turn the thing off and go listen to Shannon Davis and listen to that entertainment pumping up Donald Trump and prophesying lies. You could go listen to that mess all day. But here we're coming out the Bible. Now, we know that red writing, they say that was Jesus writing. Now, this is the Son of God writing to tell your dumb, stupid self. And the devil has blinded a lot of white people and black people with the spirit of slavery. The Lord has shown me that the spirit of shackles of colonialism are still on African Americans. They are colonialized through this demon. And they need to get free. So tonight, you will get free to know the word of who Jesus is. I don't care what color he is. That's not the beef. The beef is I'm holding up the Bible. So don't come with me tonight with no mess, because you don't want to hear the truth. Now, this is Jesus telling you the comparison of his color, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in red writing. Pastor Durden, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Pastor Durden, can you read Revelations 2:18?
Revelation, sure. Revelation 2:18 says, and unto the angel of the Lord church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass.
Pastor Durden, you're very educated. You have 3 degrees. Am I correct, sir? Brother John, when you see the word light, fine brass, is that trying to give you a comparability of a color?
Yeah, that's kind of brownish, goldish type. You know, it's not white and it's not black. It's all in between.
Fine brass, but it does say fine brass, right?
Yeah, and brass is not white and brass is not black.
See that? But white folks don't want to hear that. American white people, you ain't got to comment on this, brother. I got this. They don't want to hear that. Shannon Davis running around talking about he olive. That ain't olive. Now, this is Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Durden. This is Jesus saying his feet are light. Fine brass. He's telling you, the Son of God is telling you this. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus. I attack the spirit of racism. I come up against the spirit of prejudice in the name of Jesus. I come up against this other Jesus who's been lashed out at people who don't know. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the revelation that you have given me concerning this subject. I ask that the power of the Holy Spirit come and be with me. For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, and I come up against this another Jesus whom we have not preached according to 2 Corinthians 11:4, and I send him back to the sender and all racism that go with it, including black, white, brown, or whoever has that spirit of racism, I bind it in Jesus' name. We pray amen. Now, I'm not here to lift no black pride or none of that mess. I ain't here for none of that because I'm going to show you that the Bible, when it's something, it has something, a meaning to it. And when we don't look at these words and really see what it is, we're going to miss it. Now, Isaiah 30:10 says, which say to the seer, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. We don't teach deceit. We don't prophesy deceit here. So if you don't want to hear what's in the King James Bible, go. Get on out of here and go. We don't lie. 1 Kings 22:23. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Jeremiah 14:14. The prophets said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. And there's a lot of lying going on about Jesus. White folks don't want to see him as Jesus. I talked to this brother from Colorado. I talked to him and said, hey, John, I'm going on air tonight. What you talking about? I said, the truth. And I just want to see where his comment. You know, he got mad and hung up. See, people don't want to hear this because they was trained and raised by the spirit of tradition. That's what got us all messed up. The movies you see, the pictures on the wall. Jesus ain't no Caucasian. I'm sorry. I don't mind him being that. See, but I got to say that because you're going to twist this. And those demons in you are going to try to find something against me. But I damn sure ain't going to let that happen because I'm coming straight from the Bible. And I don't prophesy false lies. And this false Christ got to go because it's not what's going. Jeremiah 23:16, thus saith the Lord, the host, hearken not unto the words of the prophets. The prophets say unto you that make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart. And not out of the mouth of the Lord. So we're going to come out the mouth of the Lord tonight. Jeremiah 22:16. We're going to come out the mouth of the Lord based on Revelation 2:18, like that of brass. That's in the King James. Any of you want to call me and say, try to twist it? You think they're going to try? Can they twist that, Brother John? Can they spin that, make that spin it into a lie?
Yep. But you can't.
They'll try to.
The word is the
they
word.
They can't. That's the word. That's not the King James Version. That's not the Bible. So we're coming out the King James. We ain't, don't come at me about no open Bible, no NIV. That's why I don't read that stuff. I don't read Amplified. That's too easy. That's for those who want to go like that. I don't go like that. I don't knock it. But here, it's King James, the closest you can get to the real teachings of the Bible. Now, let me say this here, because some of you people, black and white, purple, orange, whoever you are, may say that this man is teaching racism. No, I'm not. Because I'm going to say that before I start this, is that God made all of us. So I'm not here to promote color. I'm here to promote the Bible, what Jesus says he was. And I'm going to defend it like that of brass. Acts 17:26, and had made of one blood all nations of men, but to dwell on earth, the face of the earth, and had determined at the time before appointed and the bonds of their inhabitation. All, and had made of one blood all nations. So that's where we come from, based on Acts. We come from one blood. But the devil wants to disguise Jesus. It's impossible for Jesus to be a Caucasian. That's the only little white baby that I know that lived in Africa and was exposed. I got a question. Why do you feel the need to cuss? Well, I get frustrated, sister. And the Bible says I ain't supposed to have no filtered communication coming out of your mouth. And I'm just straightforward and militant. I'm sorry that offend you. It takes like that to wake some folks up. That's why. And I apologize if I offended anybody. I hope that answers your question. Now, the devil, and I shouldn't, but I just get frustrated. And I ask you to forgive me. Something real. I ain't trying to play holy here. I'm not, I'm far from that. I'm human. I serve God. And I give him all I got every day. And I work from 9 o'clock in the morning to 5:30 in the morning. I get right back up at 9 o'clock. I get 4 hours of sleep, and I'm 57 years old. And I've been getting 4 hours of sleep for the past 10 years. And I see so much frustration, so much untruthful, so many lies. The devil is lying to people. And I don't like lies, and I damn sure don't like racism. That's why I get angry. I hate racism. I hate the spirit of racism. I don't like it, and I fight it, and I will continue to fight that. That's God put that in my heart. Racism is evil. We got this racist man in office, and all these white folks have put him in office. These are your white people that smile in your face and don't even speak in tongues and run straight to the Baptist church. Them hillbillies. Them hillbillies still calling you nigger for 400 years, whooping you, sending you to a Jesus in a back outhouse and having sex with you the next day. And that's white Christianity. I'm not about that. So I'm going to expose this. Now, if you're white and you're born again, you know the truth and you ain't racist, I'm not talking to you. But if you got hate in your heart, you ain't going to like this. And I hope that this word can push it out of you. And I hope that when you get on your knees one day, you'll see Revelation 2:18 be fulfilled. Read that again about this Jesus, Brother John. Revelation 2:18. I hope one day that you'll see this.
Okay, Revelation 2:18 says, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things which said the Son of God, who hath his eyes into a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass.
See, you've been taught this by the God of this world to teach you that Jesus is. See, the Bible is persistently, it gives you clues where people at. Oh, I'm not even through. Man, this ride is going to be a wonderful ride tonight. Because God has put in my heart to come up again. Ever since Donald Trump been in office and Shannon Davis start coming up with this, Donald Trump is the savior of this world and all this white racism. God pushed me to speak out against this. And all my black audience got my back, all of them. And white, the white people out of Europe are so beautiful because they see I'm not. I had to explain that I don't hate nobody. How can I hate somebody and I got a white man behind me, Derek Prince, and I promote him? Derek Prince adopted a black little girl. He's not racist. That's why I got him right with me. I don't like racist black people because they have demons in them. I don't like racist white people. I love them, but I don't like their sin. I hate racism. I'm not going with it, and I fight it. And that's why these speeches that I do, these certain sermons in and out, is to attack this and hope give you hope to show you that the devil has lied to you. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You're not going to believe tonight what you're going to hear, but you're going to have a choice to accept what the Bible says, not what I say. And make sure that you write down the scriptures. Don't come calling me with no mess saying I twisted the scripture. The problem that all of you have is you have a lack of knowledge. In Hosea 4:6, the Bible says that my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. That's defined destroyed, to tear down and to break up and to demolish. And black people have been demolished in this country for 400 years, but not been demolished by not even knowing who their mother and their father was, or their heritage was cut off, was oppressed, beaten, serving a Jesus that didn't look nothing like him, but the Bible says it kind of looked like him. He was like that of brass. So I'm doing this for young African-American men that don't have a father, to have a Christ that looks like them. And for you white people, you need to realize and accept the truth who Jesus really is based on the King James. Now, y'all wrote the King James from England. Your ancestors wrote it. So I'm backing up your ancestors. So you need to be sticking with me. King James is from Europe. Okay. We are one kind of fleshed men on this earth. Let me explain that. Brother John, 1 Corinthians 15:39.
First, you say 1 Corinthians?
Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:39.
All right. Okay, 15:39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds.
One kind of flesh of men. So I'm not speaking racism. But John, give me Galatians 3:28.
Okay. There it is. 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Is neither bond nor free, is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
So if you're black, you're one in Christ Jesus. If you're white, you're one in Christ Jesus. Now, how the hell I can be a racist? And I'm teaching this. Y'all are misinterpreting. The devil wants you to hear. Those demons in you want you to hear something wrong. I'm going to clear your ears up tonight. He that have an ear, let him hear. I'm not a racist. We all one, black or white. Didn't the Bible say that, Brother John? But they still going to call anyway. I'm coming. Had a call from Mississippi. Brother John heard it. Come on. 1 Timothy 5:21, Brother John.
1 Timothy 5:21 says, all right, here we are. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality.
That's racism. Doing nothing by partiality. Mm-hmm. That's racism. So you people who calling me a racist, I'm not a racist, because the Bible says you don't do nothing through partiality. I'm trying to show you that if we one blood, you still going to judge me because he's saying that Jesus is a nigger. Well, what is he a nigger? But you're still going to ball down and say he's the Lord. Oh, you don't want him to be a nigger, do you? So that's how messed up your mind is. I said I don't care what color you are, but y'all are so warped out that you can't even accept it. You're sick. I'm going to try to cure you tonight. Romans 2:9, Brother John. 2:10 and 2:11. I'm going to try to cure you.
Romans 2:9. Okay. All right, here we go. Romans 2:9 says, all right, 2:9. Here we go. Chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Of the Jew first, and also of the Gentiles. Let me say that again. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentiles.
So when you do evil, Jew or Gentile, he don't care what color you are, he's going to judge you. This is sound scripture, and y'all still going to try to dance away from it because you got racism in you. You don't like the truth.
Verse 11. For there is no respect of person. But there's no respect.
No, I don't respect nobody.
With God.
Now, I didn't say that. Now, God don't like racism. I've done this before, but I think that I need to do this because the times that we're living in, and how the devil lies. We got a president. This man is arguing for a wall. You know, that's old, ancient ideology. Get some drones. They're cheaper. You can shoot a drone down and get 10,000 drones at, what, $100 a piece? Who's told you that lie? The Republicans have lied to these people. This man lies more than any president, and you people don't do nothing about it. You got a stupid fool named Shannon Davis running with the banner. I called him this morning. I said, hey, white digger, when they put him in jail and they start finding the finances, where his money at, all y'all people are going to be shocked when I show you. Watch what happens. They're going to get into his finances, and this Trump racist ride will be over. This is tearing America up, and the devil has lied to these voters. All you got to do is tell them people in the suburb of area, gun control, save your rights, Obamacare, cut it, their vote. That's ignorance. Just the same as about who Jesus is. Now, I'm going to show you in Numbers chapter 12 that God don't like racism. So, if he don't like it, I don't like it. I don't care what you don't like. Let's look at this here. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Brother John. Could you go back and read 1 Timothy 5:21 again?
Okay. Okay, 1 Timothy 5:21. Okay, here we go. 5:21. Here we go. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality.
Now Miriam and Aaron did something with partiality. They was mad at Moses. And you white people are doing the same thing. You get mad when someone make us show you a subject about people of color in the Bible. You call me a damn racist. Not no racist. That's what the Bible is. You call Jesus a racist. You call the King James who wrote this. And Miriam, M-I-R-I-A-M, and Aaron spoke against Moses. Because why are they speaking against Moses? Don't forget, 1 Timothy 5:21, God don't do things out of partiality. Because of the Ethiopian woman. The Bible says that Moses' wife was an Ethiopian woman. What difference does it make? That's what difference does it make, fool, because the Bible tells you that it was an Ethiopian. God wants you to know that. And maybe if you can accept that, you'll stop calling folks niggas and thinking that you're dominant, because you're not. That's called white supremacy in America. That only happens. This is a spirit in America. See, a lot of people overseas don't understand what I'm doing. I'm a deliverance minister. I got to fight. Nehemiah 4:14 says, fight for your children, fight for your family. We have to fight against this evil. I'm not allowing a false doctrine to go across, and I don't do nothing about it while I have an audience. If I get 30 people and that 30 can tell somebody, if it can change two or three people, then glory to God. Because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Who told you that damn lie that Charleston Heston was Moses? Well, John, you ever saw Charleston the movie and Charleston Heston, the white woman, looked like Moses' wife? She looked white, didn't she?
You're right.
That ain't the Bible. They say that. Excuse me. You tell the director he got that wrong. See, y'all like fantasy. This reality. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman. That's why they didn't want to speak. Partiality, 1 Timothy 5:21. And see, y'all like that today. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. That's why they was mad. Now watch this. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye there unto the congregation, tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud. Now that got God upset. That's why it gets me upset. I'm in his likeness. I don't like racism. God said, no, y'all ain't going to be mad at my servant because he picked this fine, pretty Ethiopian. And boy, them Ethiopian women are fine. I like Ethiopian women. I like sisters. I like Jamaican women. My wife's Jamaican. My wife is very attractive. And the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud. In a pillar of a cloud. Wow. God wanted to come down. Why? That subject bothered him. It don't bother you, American. That don't bother y'all because this man lying to y'all. That don't bother you when you see this poor white lady get killed by a white guy run all over in Charlottesville and this racist cracker president that you white evangelical, no-tongue-talking Baptist white Christians have put in office. That's evil. And the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. That's one-on-one conversation with God, and that takes a lot of humbleness. It takes getting out of the flesh. It takes a whole lot of suffering, so y'all don't do that, to hear his spirit. But God talked to him one-on-one, and God came down because if his servant was happy with that pretty Ethiopian, y'all ever seen some Ethiopian sisters? Man, they are pretty. Now, African-American sisters too, pretty too now. African-American and the Jamaican sisters and African sisters in Africa. I'm down with all that. Amen. I love all people, but I love my sisters. All right, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the substitute of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? They spoke against him. God didn't like that. Now watch what God did. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Y'all don't think the anger of the Lord could kindle against this crazy Shannon Davis running around here talking about prophesying that God has used a racist white man who has committed adultery, who called black people son of bitches, who degrade people. God uses that. Y'all done lost y'all mind. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed off of the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became a leopard, white as snow. He hit her. He hit her with leprosy because she was showing partiality. See, God doesn't like that. And people who are racist, y'all going to pay a heavy price. You know, the Lord told me a lot of slave masters in hell, they in hell, raping the women, screwing them at will. That's evil, oppressing another person like that. That takes a demonic spirit to do that. And the demons have shifted politically with that. And the Republican Party is like that spirit of slavery has transferred with the slave whooping party. The Republican Party, my grandmother called Republicans. She said, son, they are called slave whoppers, nigger hangers. I'm from Alabama. So I don't like Republicans. I don't like Democrats. I don't like none of them. I like the word. I don't like none of them. And Aaron said unto Moses, ah, Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. So they sinned. And God took care of that. Now, if you go to Exodus chapter 2:21, get mad at God on this one. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at God. Since y'all want to call me a racist, call God one too. Exodus 2:21, get mad at him on this one. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses, Z-I-P-P-A-R-H, Zaphara, that's her name, and she was an Ethiopian. That's a black woman. Now, how is that racist, Brother John, that I just identified that? How is that racist?
She's strictly a black woman. That's all I got to say, brother.
How is that racist? And people are going to say, the Bible says, and he went.
That's not racist. That's not racist. The Lord himself.
The
Lord himself gave Moses this woman.
God. But white people don't want to believe that. Y'all want to think y'all made a movie about Charles says, I don't watch that nasty movie. That's a lie. I don't like watching lies. I don't need Hollywood to tell me about Moses. I don't need Hollywood to see the devil's lied to y'all. I don't need Hollywood to tell me about Jesus because they're not going to depict Jesus the way I depict him. I see Jesus as an exorcist. I see Jesus as God. See, the devil lied to y'all. Y'all have been lied to over and over subconsciously with this mess, and you're going to put yourself in an abyss of madness because of this hate, this evil, this fool here want to build a wall and shut us out. Now, that must be some ignorant people to vote for that. That's spiritual. All of this is spiritual. All of it. Moses' wife, Zephora, was Cush. She was a Cushite. Let's go to Numbers 12:1. She's a Cushite. She is an ancient name for the era of Africa. The Shumanites was black in Psalm of Solomon. We're going to look at all this. Now, the Lord has showed me as I do this that we have a spirit of slavery upon us. Big Mike, give me the spirit of slavery. And give it to Brother John, the spirit of slavery.
Okay.
And white people got the spirit of slavery. Anytime that you oppress and been taught something wrong, you've been oppressed. That's slavery. When you see and hear slavery, what you say, somebody whipping you with chains, that's all forms of slavery, baby. It's just how you defined it. Spirit of slavery, Big Mike. Check me, Romans 8:15. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage against to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In the NIV, it says spirit of slavery. And a spirit can come upon you to make you not want to believe the truth. They did a study at Clark Atlanta University in 1986 in Atlanta, Georgia, with seven black little girls and seven white little girls. And the white little girls had, and they'd done this study all over the college universities in the 60s and 70s. This is the known fact. And they had a white doll and a black baby doll. And the white little girl went to get the white doll. Of course, she raised up seeing it all the time. Well, the little black child's still acting like the white one because that's all she knew. That's sublineal. That's how racism come into people. That's a spirit. See, the devil. The Bible says that the thief wished to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is how the enemy has infiltrated the minds of them who believe not. 2 Corinthians 4:4, from their mind. That makes sense, Brother John?
Yeah.
Evidence of Africans in the Bible. Now, this brother took a course in 1992, and he took a class at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, called Introduction to the Old Testament. And the brother said, as I read the various required textbooks from the course, I saw something I had never noticed before. Many Old Testament scholars, particularly European white men of the 18th, 19th, and early 20th century, had written their books and commentaries on the Old Testament from the perspective that there were no people of color mentioned in the Word of God. That's the spirit of error. I'm going to uncover that. Who's the first black man in the Bible? Who's the first black man in the Bible? It is not clear who's the first black man in the Bible. The Bible is not interested in color of skin people. But it does definitely tell you the nature because Jesus says like that of. But it doesn't emphasize that as salvation. But it's a form of understanding knowledge so you won't be affected from error and being misled. Because Bible history mainly happened in the Middle East, it is very likely that the large majority of people mentioned in the Bible was tan brown to become ancestors of both black and white people. Adam and Eve must have had the genes both for black and white. This would have resulted in them being darkish brown and likely a candidate for the person that the Bible seems to indicate that he was black-skinned as Cush. He was the son of Ham, the son of Noah. His descendants, the Cushites, are the inhabitation of Africa, south of Egypt. Often there is an equest with Ethiopia, but the Nubian North Sudan probably is more correct. Cushites, C-U-S-H-I-T-H. Later in the Bible, the Cushites are mentioned often in Jeremiah chapter 13:23. We find the historic question, can the Ethiopian, the actual word user here is Cushite, change his skin? In an obvious referral to the dark or black skin of the people. Cushites that was read about in the Bible include Moses' wife. We just said that. There's a distinction about the circumstances of the marriage and about the meaning of Cushite in this verse, but most Bible scholars believe Moses married a black woman. See, white America, Lily White, Joe Crow system, whooping you, putting you in the back of the water fountain. They ain't want to preach that, and it's still hidden today. A lot of white people in America, not European white people, they don't think like this. I deal with people worldwide. The European Caucasians in Arizona, the Shannon Davis type, them people over there with Shannon Davis, very racist. Because this brother I talked to, he said, well, you're going to teach that, says the truth. I said, the Lord told me to teach it. He couldn't understand that. You're going to teach confusion. No, I'm not. I'm teaching the Bible. See, white people, some white people in America can't accept this. They cannot accept this. In the New Testament, we read about the important people who are in all likelihood were black, the first ones of the Ethiopian court officer in Acts 8:27, who gets baptized. He might very well be the beginning of the ancient Ethiopian church. The second one is Simon Niger, or Nigra, N-I-G-E-R. The word Niger, root word, semitically means nigger. That means a person of color. And see, the demons in the white people flipped it, and y'all look at it as a nasty name. Y'all call me a nigger. I'm a Nigra. So I understand the meaning of it. Y'all better start reading and leave this rap music and this TV alone, because you ain't going to learn nothing with that. There might be a few more black people in the Bible, for example. We're going to look at that and examine it more in depth. Amen? All right. Now, let's get on. Brother John, give me Jeremiah 8:19-21.
Jeremiah 8:19-21.
Just read Jeremiah 8:21.
Okay. No problem. There we go. Let me back it up some. I'm about to high. Jeremiah 8. Let me back down to 8. 8:21 says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Admonishment has taken hold of me. I'm going to read it again. For the hurt of the daughter. This is Jeremiah talking. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment has taken hold of me.
Now, did the Bible say that somebody is black? Chaplain John.
I beg your pardon?
Did the Bible say that somebody here is black?
Jeremiah is talking about what color he is.
Yeah.
He said, I am black. You ought to know what color
y'all
he is.
Y'all got to wake up. Y'all got, and see, white people don't want white American Christians. Most of them are. The Republicans would vote for Donald Trump. They don't want to hear this. That's the one I'm trying to get you hillbilly racist people that hate black people for no reason. I'm talking to them. I'm not talking to those who are not racist. I'm trying to deal with it. And you black people who are racist, you're going to have to cut that. You ain't getting to heaven with that, brother. Y'all better forgive these people. Because both of y'all go to hell. Now let's go to Psalm of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5, Brother John.
Psalm of Solomon.
Uh-oh. 1:5, Psalm of Solomon, 1:5, and then we're going to go to verse 6.
Okay, hold on.
1:5 and 1:6.
9:26. Okay, I'm getting there.
I got it. I am black, but calmly, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Verse 6, look not upon me. Look not. Don't look at me. Watch this. Because I am black. Out the King James Version. I did not write this. This is the original King James. And I guarantee you, none of you have never had a sermon like this in your life. Now, let Pastor Durden read it. He's 78 years old. This will be more meaningful for him because he can tell you, did you learn this in school when you was a Baptist, Brother John?
Yeah, you must be joking. No way, Jose. No way.
You see that? I am black. Song of Solomon. That's in the Bible. Don't y'all call me, say I wrote that. That's in the Bible. And then he says again, I am black. In verse 6, two verses, 1:5 and 1:6, of an identifier of a color. Now, what difference does it make? Ask God why he wrote it in there. See, we've been lied to. We have been lied to by the devil. Y'all been led. The devil is not going to lie to me. Now, let me show you something before we close. We're going to have to do two segments of this. I got to do part two tomorrow because I had to get God questions. But it don't make no sense. Now, how can a white little baby like me, look at me. Now, I'm African-American. Look at that. Now, look how light-skinned I am. I wouldn't even blend in Egypt if they had to send me as a little baby. Now, I'm light-skinned. I'm African-American. Look at this. Now, see, y'all white people, y'all got to stop lying to yourself. And because y'all don't want to hear the truth. Now, it's impossible for Jesus to be white. Watch this. We're going to close with this. And we're going to open up. Do you want to comment? Are there anybody in the YouTube room, Brother Mike?
No, sir. No one else is commenting.
Are there anybody in there?
There's four people watching right now.
Okay, God bless all of you. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. It's impossible. And I don't mind what color he is, but see, when you got to come, when you read the word, it's right there in your face. The Bible is very simple because of the simplicity of Christ. Now, let's look at how simple this is in Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Haran, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Great Britain. No, it says flee into Africa. Now, a lot of people don't want to accept Africa being in the continent. In Alabama, when I was in high school with the Jim Crow system, they taught that Egypt was Europe. I said, God had to reeducate me. And a lot of you need to be reeducated by the Holy Ghost so you can know the truth. Now, Jesus, God told him to take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I break the word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So Herod is here in Egypt looking for him, and the little white baby would stick out. Wouldn't you think so? Impossible. I don't care how you fix it, how you curve it. I'm hitting you with the truth. And I pray to God that you break your racism and respect all races of people, regardless of what color they are. Now let's go to Hosea 11:6. 11:1, I'm sorry. Hosea 11:1. When Israel was a child, that's Jesus, then I loved him and called my son out of Great Britain. It didn't say that. It says Africa, which is Egypt. Now, don't y'all get mad at me. It's King James. I still don't see Great Britain in here. It ain't. See how the devil lied to you? Let's look at the Ethiopian eunuch. Black person. Why would God say Ethiopian eunuch? Let's look at this. Let's go to Acts, and I'll read it, verse 27. Now, God put that. If God didn't want you to know what who the person was, he wouldn't put the race ethnicity in it. See, God is precise. Y'all want to call me racist? You ain't got a damn dime to live on tonight, because it's coming right out the Bible. Y'all lying like a $3 bill. The European unit. Matter of fact, let's go to Acts 8:26. We read the whole thing. See, I'm going to put all of it in there. Because, see, y'all have been lied to. The devil ain't going to fool me because I study. See, I ain't got time to be watching TV all night. I can't do that. 8:26. All right, I'm going to stop at 39. Watch this. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold. Now, this is what the Bible says. It's identifying somebody. Y'all, man, y'all better wake up. Behold, a man of Ethiopian. So God, that does make a difference, because God's telling you what he is. Because God knew that racism was going to exist. God knew that the devil will use white people, and the devil will use black people against each other. God knew that. And God knew that the devil would give them this gospel called another Jesus, that put this white Jesus on the wall. It don't look nothing like Revelation 2:18. God knew it. That's why he put it in here. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority. Now, I'm telling you, it's a great person. Watch this. Under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. That's another black woman. Two black women in the Bible. Nothing against white women. I just don't see them in here so far. See, that's white racism. As far as they're concerned, they'll have you watching Charleston. I don't like, don't y'all, don't come send me no movies. Somebody send me, but don't send me no movie on Charleston Heston. Don't y'all send me no movies on Jesus, because the Hollywood is definitely is in there to entertain. They're not in there to teach the gospel. They're in there to make money on Christian values, and some of that stuff is true and some of it is not. I read the Bible. I don't need no movie. That's why y'all messed up. Stop watching the movie and read the word. You see, it says an Ethiopian who had the charge of all her treasures, female, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship Jesus, this black woman. Let that be seen. Hey, any First Baptist Church of Marietta, Georgia, y'all listen to me. I like to come up there and teach y'all that. Coweta County, Georgia, Kennesaw, Georgia. Anybody want me to come to your church who's racist, I will come. And I would definitely bring my AR-15 and my Bible. See, we have been lied to. Simon of Cyrene and Mark 15:21, who picked up Jesus' cross, was a black man. He became saved and believed that Jesus was Lord in Romans 16:13. Paul emphasized that Rufus is chosen of the Lord in Romans 16:13. That's the same one who carried the cross. Paul must have been a willing follower of Christ. But this also tells us that Simon not only approached Christ as Savior, but he passed on the gospel message to his son and got saved. A black man named Elmebilak, E-B-E-D-M-E-L-E-C-H. Jeremiah had been cast into a dungeon to die in Jeremiah 38:7-12. Let's go to that. Brother John, give me Jeremiah 38:7-12.
Okay, Jeremiah 38, all right, 7 through 12.
Seven says,
you said 7 through 12, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Now, when Elimelech, Ethiopian.
Oh, one of whoa, the whoa, wait, wait a minute. Stop, Brother John. It said who?
Yeah.
What did it say?
Elimelech, the Ethiopian.
So God has said, you know, that's now, another black man. That's a black man in there, an Ethiopian. They black.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, "My lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah, whom they have cast into the dungeons, and he is like to hunger in the place. Yes, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he died." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, "Put down these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thy armholes, under the cords." And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the coat of the prison.
That's a black man saving a Jewish prophet.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the Bible. Give me Jeremiah 39:16-18.
Jeremiah 39:16-18 says, "Go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before. But I will deliver thee in that day, says the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid." Verse 18, "And I will surely, surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, says the Lord." In chapter 40,
it
talk about Jeremiah's release. Mm-hmm.
God bless that man. That Ebed-Melech was a black man from Ethiopia. God blessed him from protecting a prophet of Israel, Jeremiah, a black man, an Ethiopian. But white Christians won't have that on no service on no Sunday, especially in Marietta and Kennesaw. This is America. This is why we're so messed up in America, because of the divisions here, Republican, the Democrat, white Jesus. Ain't no such thing as no white Jesus. The Bible doesn't depict that. We're going to pick this up tomorrow. Truth is real. The Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I hope that you've been free tonight. I want to thank our new subscribers, Brother Warren. God bless you. We got some new subscribers, and I cannot pull it up at this time. Let me see, can I identify these new subscribers before I get off air? I really want to thank you, man. We are really pumped up our subscribers a lot. We have a lot of people. So I'm trying to open up this now before I get ready and go. And I want to thank our new subscribers. And I'm trying to pull up their names. Okay, new subscriber, Anthony Warren. God bless you, brother. Aaron Wichita Church. God bless you. Roy Hanzadaha. God bless you. Emily Peaks. God bless here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Continue to tell someone about here. We are controversial here, but I'm about truth. I'm not here to please man. Because if I'm a servant of Christ, I can't please you. And I pray that you will wake up. Now, that's in the Bible. Tell some of your friends in them churches up there in North Alabama, Mississippi, to teach on that. Maybe they'll have some perspective and respect for people instead of shooting and gunning down black people like dogs here in the 21st century. There have been more African-American young men killed in the Obama administration than anything. I'm glad he's out of office. Really, it has ceased since he got out of office. This is a serious spirit. You got this fool up here talking about a wall, and 800,000 people are suffering. God bless you. Sow a seed here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Don't believe a lie. The word is true, and every man a lie. Sow a seed here at Live Deliverance, and thank you. Tell someone about this radio station, and good night. Okay, let's open up lines. Reverend Duckworth to Chaplain John Wharton, Reverend E.D. Duckworth. He's emailing me from Clintdale, Mississippi. Reverend Durden, I don't like how you support this. Now, you from the old school, back when you was in my time, I would really hurt you You know what I want to call you on air. Don't you know the word I want to call you?
Hey, if you want to stay stupid, stay stupid. You got to realize when he's teaching the word, that was coming strictly from the Lord. Ain't no way in the world that man can sit there and tell you everything and then give you the scripture to back it up and everything else. If you want to keep on believing that Jesus white, then you keep on believing it. You know, Jesus not white, Jesus not black. Jesus a Jew. Now, his complexion is his brass. Now, you figure out what brass is, okay? Now, if you want to stay stupid, stay stupid. I don't care what you think yourself.
All right, Brother John, 1 hour. Reverend Clipman called him for that church. We got to get ready. Brother Mike, close us out. Oh, hey, Brother John. Brother Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel like deliverance with Brother John, do you? Brother John, meet me and Brother Mike in the room. We got to get through some. We got 30 minutes for deliverance.
Yeah, yeah.
I close this out, Ben Mike, so we can get in the room. Help Brother John.
All right. Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, Father, thank you, Father, for the teaching that went forth tonight, Father. Let it be opening and edifying, Father, for those who listen, Father. Continue to bless each and every one out there listening. Bless the new members. Bless the new subscribers, Father. Bless those who are coming to this ministry, Father. And we ask, Father, for forgiveness and grace, Father, in our times of need, Father, as we continue to strive and serve you. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.